All right, Farad, this is a good time for us to move on to our political roundtable, which you're leading. Some analysis is coming of last night's events at the RNC. Who do you have with you today?
Well, Tony, we've got Donna Brazile, Democratic strategist, and Robert Tranum, Washington, D.C. bureau chief for CNN, the Comcast network. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
So, you know, you're both here in St. Paul. Robert, from your perspective, how was last night's real kickoff? I mean, you know, this convention really started a day late.
You know, you're exactly right, Farai. Monday night was almost like a funeral, just in terms of how everyone felt. Everyone was pretty down because of Gustav, and knowing that there were millions of lives at risk, John McCain did the right thing by saying, you know what, we really need to scale this back. But last night, it was a very, very upbeat, positive night. You had First Lady Laura Bush speaking. You also had the tribute to President and Mrs. Bush, meaning 41, George H.W. Bush and Barbara Bush. And, of course, you had the law and order man, Fred Thompson, kicking off the night in keynote. So the delegates here are very energized. I heard you speak to Tony a few moments ago just in terms of how they feel about Governor Palin. They are extremely energized. And, you know, it's interesting because every time John McCain's name is mentioned in the convention hall, there's a sustained round of applause. There's no question about it. But when Governor Palin's name is mentioned, there is a resounding round of applause. And a couple of times there were standing ovations when her picture was shown up on the Jumbotron and so forth. So this is a key indicator as to how these delegates feel about their vice presidential nominee.
I want to talk a little bit more about Senator Fred Thompson, who praised Senator McCain's resume, his experience as a POW. Let's listen to a little bit of him criticizing Barack Obama.
America needs a president who understands the nature of the world we live in, a president who feels no need to apologize for the United States of America. And my friends, we need a president who doesn't think that the protection of the unborn or a newly born baby is above his pay grade.
Now, Donna, when you listen to this, how much do you think it appeals, and I'm going to ask very directly, how much does this appeal to undecided voters, whether they're Democrats, Republicans, or independents?
Judging from the reaction inside the arena last night, the speeches last night was tailored to appealing to the people in that room, or the choir, not the full congregation gathered outside the convention hall and across America. It was red meat for conservatives. Robert is absolutely right. Every time Governor Palin's name is mentioned, they go into, you know, a frenzy. The right wanted someone, the conservative base of the Republican Party, wanted someone that they could agree with, someone who stood with them on the values that they believe are important to them. But the country is yearning for something different. They're yearning for change. They're yearning for a new direction. When you look at poll after poll, 80% of the American people believe the country is seriously off track. One thing to mention, last night, hardly any substance. The Republicans have controlled the White House for 8 years. Hardly any substance. The president gave a almost 2,000-word speech, and never did he mention jobs, the economy. He mentioned taxes, of course, but in terms of the larger issues that concern the American people, rising fuel costs, rising food prices, the president did not address those concerns.
Farai, can I address that for a second?
You know,
it's very interesting, and I think we need to be completely fair here. I was at the Democratic National Convention in Denver, and the first two nights was not substance. It was all about change and platitudes. And so I think we need to be very, very clear here that it's the nominee's job, Senator Obama's job, which he did last Thursday night, and Senator McCain's job, which he will do tomorrow night, to speak about substance. It's about the future, and it's about what the candidate himself will
Robert,
do.
You weren't paying attention because you didn't listen to Nancy Pelosi's speech, and you did not listen to Ted Kennedy's speech, and God knows you did not listen to some of the substance that came from Jesse Jackson Jr., Rahm Emanuel, and others, because on that first night, people said it was boring because it wasn't enough red meat addressed.
Well, with all due respect, I didn't interrupt you when you were speaking, so please give me the same respect. But if I can go back to my original point, and I was in Denver, and I did hear the same speech you did, to go back, and I encourage all of our viewers and listeners out there to actually look at the tape, because both of those conventions on the first two nights was not about substance. It was about platitudes. Farai?
Well, you know,
your party has controlled the White House for 8 years, and you won't even discuss the record.
Well, I don't think we should personalize this. I think we should be talking about the future, Farai.
Okay, guys. You know what?
You can't talk about the past.
Donna and Robert.
We're living in the present, too, Robert.
Donna, Robert, we are going to have to take a break shortly, but a perfect outro to this is, how much do you think the members of the other party are watching each other's conventions? How closely, just very briefly, Donna, how closely are Democrats watching this convention?
Oh, they're watching because they hear the lies and they want to respond.
Robert, how closely did the Republicans...
I feel like I'm about to have an aneurysm. Look, to be fair
to be fair,
both Republicans and Democrats watch each other's conventions. They want to see exactly what is being said and how they're being choreographed. This is one big choreographed stage on both sides. And so I'm sure Senator Obama and Senator Biden are sitting in their hotel suites watching this convention, seeing exactly how Governor Palin's going to speak tonight. And she will do well. The bar is set fairly low for her, so she probably will do extremely well tonight. But there's no question about it,
okay.
Farai, that in Denver the Republicans were watching and watching very closely.
All right. Well, Tony, back to you.
Thanks, Farai. We'll continue this roundtable, lively roundtable conversation after a quick break. This is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox. Okay, we're going back now to St. Paul, Minnesota, to continue our conversation with Farai Chidea and our political contributors. Farai?
Hey, thanks, Tony. We are speaking with Democratic strategist Donna Brazil and Robert Trainum, Washington, D.C. bureau chief for CN8, the Comcast network. You guys are playing so well in the sandbox. I'm not going to stop you two from slinging sand at each other. But, you know, that's part of what this is about, is partisan politics. And speaking of which, the Alaska governor, Sarah Palin, got huge support from the speakers and crowd last night. There are some questions about her, about whether she inappropriately pushed for an official to be fired. She's hired a lawyer for that, plus her pregnant teenage daughter. Honestly, the pregnancy is getting a lot more play, but the issue of the officials and the firing is something that really is a lot more substantive. Robert, do you think questions about her ethics could ultimately hurt the ticket?
Sure, it could hurt the ticket, and the reason why is because you're an elected official, and if you're a maverick, and if you're the new sheriff in town, and you're running on the platform, or you ran on the platform of reform and being a maverick, that can certainly hurt you. But let's take a look at the facts. The facts are is that allegedly, when she was governor, her brother-in-law or ex-brother-in-law was inappropriately fired because he divorced her sister, and apparently, from what I understand, it was an abusive relationship. The Democratic Attorney General in the state of Alaska has came out and said that it looks like that nothing was done wrong, although they are investigating just to double check, and they will release the results a couple of days before the election. He is on record. I've read it in several of the blogs as well as in the newspapers where he has said that it looks like everything was done appropriately, but again, they're looking into it. But to answer your question specifically, Farai, could this hurt the ticket? It sure can. But I think at the end of the day, and I agree with my good boo, Donna, that the country itself is so hungry for a different track. You know, they're sick and tired of the partisan politics, the yelling of the voices. They want specifics. They want someone that's going to understand that they're living from paycheck to paycheck, that they're worried about their health insurance and rising gas prices. That's what this election's really about.
Farai, I just spent 5 days helping my family evacuate once again from the terrible winds and rain of Hurricane Gustav. The country wants more than just hot rhetoric and hot meat from a stage in Minneapolis or Denver. They really want our government to work. They want our politicians to talk to each other, and they want people to try to find solutions that will help ordinary people, not just the special interests. I think this is a historic choice. I'm a woman. I was there in 1984 when Geraldine Ferraro was selected. I was there last week when Barack Obama accepted the party's nomination. So every time we break down a barrier, it helps us move further along our journey to freedom and equality for all Americans. But I do believe that her record as governor, her record as mayor of a small town in Alaska, yes, they will come under scrutiny. And yes, the media will, you know, pry into her life as much as they can. And there are aspects of her life, as Senator Obama said the other day, that should be off limits. But beyond that, her public record, well, it's fair game.
Well, you know, we actually spoke to some folks at the convention last night and asked about the family issues, asked whether the governor needed to address the issue of her 17-year-old unwed pregnant daughter. And Roberta Lilick from Siderville, Ohio, had this to say.
I do think it's important that she address those issues. I'm wondering if she'll defend her family, if she's a true family woman, person, true mother. Will she defend her family? They're there. They're out in the public. And truly, people want to know. I don't think it's anybody's business, but I think people do want to know.
Here's Carol Wade, a Republican delegate from Newport Beach, California.
No, I don't think she should address that issue tonight. I think that she will probably introduce her family, I'm sure. But I don't feel as if she should talk about that. I think that she should talk about accountability.
Robert, should she or shouldn't she talk about it tonight in her speech and in general in talking to the press?
I think she'll allude to it. I think you have to. It's literally and figuratively the elephant in the room. I think what she'll say something to the effect of is, look, I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm a governor, I'm a human being, and I'm an American. And you know what? I'm just like you. I struggle with some of the things that you struggle with. You know, my daughter is pregnant. She's 17 years old. Is this something that I would have wished for at this stage in her life? Of course not. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hug her, I'm going to support her, and I'm going to do everything that I possibly can to make sure that my grandchild and my daughter and her future husband has the best life that they possibly can. When you talk like that, Farai, you immediately identify with almost everyone in the country, because everyone in the country has a friend or a neighbor, a daughter, a sister, a cousin that is going through the same issue. Senator Obama said it best. He goes, look, I was conceived when my mom was 17 years old, and look where I am. So this type of stuff is off limits, but I do think she will allude to it.
But I have to say this as a feminist, and Robert, I know I'm about to raise your blood pressure again, but I'll buy you something cold later. I support a woman's right to choose. I support a woman's right to the full range of reproductive health services. I support Bristol's privacy. But the same respect should be afforded to other women in this country. And I think as a public policy issue, we have different views on reproductive rights and reproductive health for women in this country. And I think that should also be on the table. But again, I support a mom taking care of her daughter. My mother did the same thing for my sister, and so I applaud the governor for wrapping her arms around her child. And today when Senator McCain arrived in Minneapolis, I noticed that the boyfriend, I don't know what to call him, the fiancé, whatever, he was there to greet Senator McCain. So this might come back up because the boyfriend was there.
Donna, I have to ask you, this is circling around to a different issue. Were you actually hit by a backflow of pepper spray one of the days?
Well, first of all, I have to watch where I'm walking because I don't know my way around St. Paul. And when the police tried to disperse a very peaceful demonstration, it was weird. It was a peaceful demonstration. People were marching, and it's their right. And a group of folks with black armbands and all dressed in black rushed the crowd, rushed the demonstrators, and I think what the police was trying to do was to disperse or to stop that, and they shot stuff in the air, and I got hit in the crosswinds. Now, let me just tell you, I've been involved in protest marches before, so I know what tear gas smells like and feels like. This was not tear gas. This was something potent and powerful, and as of today, I am still trying to get it out of my system.
Do you think that the war is a big issue? I mean, you know, one of the things I saw is that there were not that many protesters of color, but there are not that many delegates of color here. And do you think, and I'm going to wrap up after this by talking to each of you about this, Donna, do you think the war is a big issue for delegates of color or delegates, not delegates of color, protesters of color as well as the protesters in general?
The war is still a big issue in this country, and while we might not see as many people of color at this convention, it is still a concern because people understand the cost of the war, not just in human lives, but also our treasury, and they really would like to see a responsible timetable push so that we can bring our troops home and honor them for their service to our country.
You know, Farai, I know you have to wrap up very quickly. What I find so fascinating about this whole entire conversation is that President Bush, Prime Minister Malachi and some other folks have already agreed to a general time horizon. It broke about 2.5 weeks ago on the eve of the Democratic National Convention that our troops will begin to come home next year and will be fully out hopefully by 2013. So, you know, our troops are coming home, and the president and Prime Minister Malachi have agreed to that. But, of course, it's been drowned out because of the both national conventions. But I just find it very interesting and ironic that the Democratic Party refuses to acknowledge that, which is the obvious.
Well, guys,
well, maybe John McCain should acknowledge that because he seemed to be the only one without agreement on the timetable.
All right. On that note, we have to wrap. We've got a lot more coming up, including our bloggers roundtable. And thank you. I'm going to toss it back to Tony. Tony.
Thank you very much, Farai. That was NPR's Farai Today in St. Paul, Minnesota, speaking with political contributors, Democratic strategist Donna Brazile, and Robert Trainum, Washington, D.C. Bureau Chief for CNN, the Comcast Network.